morning, that we might have open hearts to listen to thy word and to take corrective action if desired, because thou art the one who looks only into the heart, not anything else. So guide us this morning, and thy name it be glorified in and through all days. We also pray for those who are not here for one reason or other. Share the blessings of this hour. Pray for those who are sick. Lord, heal them. In Psalm 103 we read, He healeth all thy diseases. It is the Lord who heals the diseases, not the medicine of the doctors. So help them. We ask this in the most precious name of Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As our brother brought the theme this morning in his prayer, Lord, give us an open heart to hear thy word. In fact, I was much impressed on Friday night singing, particularly led by Brother David Cole here. It was good singing. And that's what my theme of the morning subject. In fact, I was telling one dear brother, in 20 years, first time I came without any note. Normally I prepare the message and come. I did prepare, of course. I spent some time, prepared the message, but then the last minute my wife missed the bus. She normally goes to work by bus. I had to drop her in the whole thing. The process, I did not even get my notes. But then when I came here, this little song was brought by my dear friend David Cole. My heart was dark with sin until the Savior came in. So our subject this morning will be about heart. My heart was dark with sin. And we sang this little hymn which just now. Jesus, I am resting. I'm able to find out thy loving heart. What a difference between the loving heart of the Lord and our heart. You know, the Bible tells us, the heart of the man or woman is desperately wicked. You might say, is God overstating this? No, I know my heart. I know my heart and you know your heart. The heart of a man or woman is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Only God can know it. But we just read here, God's heart is a heart of love. Heart of love we have. So turn with me to Psalm 95, please. So I want to discuss with you a few things this morning. Another thing which led me to this morning's discussion is about the miracle journey. It was downstairs, sitting in that pew there, from Egypt to Canaan. He talks about the miracle journey as you turn to Psalm 95. The drama begins at the Nile and continues to Jordan, the largest mass migration of people in history. Millions made their way across the sands of Sinai Peninsula at the call of God. But what were the condition of their heart? That's what we are going to read now. Psalm 95, reading from verse 7. For he is our God and we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, note that, as in the day of provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long I was grieved with this generation and said, it's a people that do err in their heart. Notice that. And they have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Twice we see the word heart here. Harden not your heart, number one. And again, they do err in their heart. Why not say from the mind? Because man looks at the mind. God doesn't care about your mind. You may have a sharp mind. You may have a PhD behind your name. You may have a degree. God doesn't care your personality. God doesn't care how well you are dressed, how intelligent you are, how much money you make, what a beautiful house you live in. He doesn't care all this. He looks at your heart. Why heart? Here he talks about the heart only. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. The book of Proverbs, chapter 4 and verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence. For out of it, out of what? Out of the heart are all the issues of life. Whereas the people of the world think only about your head, how intelligent you are. They think everything comes from your head. No. God says here, out of the heart comes all the issues of life. In other words, anything good or anything bad you think or do, it comes from your heart. That's what God declares. One more word. 17, chapter 17 of Proverbs. In verse 3. The refining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the hearts. Notice that. The Lord looks only into the heart. With what intent you have come this morning? Is it to come and glorify Him? Or is it because someone is going to ask, we missed you last week? Or is it just to warm up the seat? Just you have nothing else to do. No golf game today because of the rain. So God looks at the intent of your heart, why you come here. Turn with me also to the first book of Samuel, chapter 16. First book of Samuel, chapter 16 and verse 7. The Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance. You're talking about a tall and handsome, a hairy man, or the height of his stature, because I have refused him, God says. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. Notice that. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh at the heart. You understand? Now, man looketh at the outside appearance. You go in good suit and boot somewhere, they respect you. Come in, sir. Please sit down. You go in a bush shirt and a torn pant, they would say, what do you want? I've seen that in my own life of 20 years in this country. Dress makes the man in this country. And also the personality and the brain. So they look only at the brain and the outside appearance. God doesn't care. God looks only at your heart, how clean the heart is. You remember in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8, what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Why are the people around the world today are not able to see God? Because their hearts are not pure. Their hearts are evil, always thinking of evil things. No pure thought comes through their heart, always wrong things. If there's a bad movie going on in the television, they would like to rather see that. Or books. They would like to read such filthy books. Sometimes when I go into the library, I cannot think of some people, much older than me perhaps, standing at the romance novels and going on reading that. I said, what do they enjoy reading all this? Because their hearts are not pure. They wouldn't be reading a Bible if you give them. So let's continue. I want to see what God is talking about the children of Israel here, about their heart. Twice we have seen that. And then I want to see also the hearts of three or four people in the Word of God, how, in spite of having such a very bad heart as all of us, and these four people, in their lives, they followed their hearts, which were pure. So turn with me now to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read on from verse 7. The same words which we read together in Psalm 95. Wherefore, as Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as the day of provocation, as in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted and proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with this generation and said, they always do err in their hearts. Not the actions they did. God was more concerned about their hearts and that they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Now comes the instruction for you and me. Notice there. Verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you sitting here in the morning today, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. In other words, forsaking. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence, steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation. For some, when they had hardened, did provoke. The word provoke has three meanings, which I looked up in the dictionary. It talks about despising the Lord. It talks about rebellious. And also it talks about challenging God. How can man challenge God? God who created the heaven and earth. And yet we will see how they were able to challenge God. They were able to provoke God. They were able to despise God. Today we see that man is doing that. In every sphere of activity. He doesn't care what God tells him to do. Take heed, he says in verse 12, brother, let there be any of you with evil heart of unbelief. What does God mean by that? Because you may be going to church. There are people who go to church. There are millions of them today. Who go to church. And yet, among the evangelical Christians, remember, the evangelical Christians, 19% do not believe that Jesus Christ is going to come back again. It's Billy Graham and his team has done this survey. 19% of the people who so-called go today morning to worship and they also sometimes break bread and they do not believe Jesus Christ is going to come down and then we are going up bodily. He said it is impossible. You just go up here, you fall down, break your head. So where is the question of our going up in rapture? This is nonsense, they say. These are so-called people who are born again, supposed to be born again. That's what God calls here an evil heart of unbelief. You may be going to church. You may be putting money everywhere. You may be taking part in bread and wine. God doesn't care. God looks at the evil heart of unbelief. What does God say in his word? He says, the Lord himself shall descend with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we be ever with the Lord. Do you believe that honestly? Or do you have an evil heart of unbelief? Okay, I can think, but I don't know how we'll go up through this roof now. That's what God calls unbelief. This is exactly what happened to the children of Israel. They started here, as we read here. What did we read? Drama begins at Nile and continues to the Jordan. The largest mass migration of the people in history. Millions of people started. How many million? Anybody can say? Almost 2 million. And how many people really reached? Anybody else can say? Just 2 people. Can you believe that? 2 million people started this mass migration of people in history. And only 2 people reached the promised land, Israel. Why? Because of evil heart of unbelief, as we read now. Why that evil heart of unbelief? They took God for granted. Okay, let's go. Moses says, let's go to a new land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But as they went, they tempted God. That's what exactly says. They challenged God. They despised God. Can any man despise God? Yes, we can. You see, we don't want to turn to that. In the second book of Samuel, we read a portion where Nathan comes in and talks to David. He tells him, you despised God because David committed adultery. And that is despising God, he says. And the same word is used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 7. That he that committed this kind of sin, God says, it despiseth me, not man or woman. He despiseth me. Yes, we can despise God. Now I want to see this morning briefly how the people of Israel, these people who started, the 2 million people, despised God. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11, please. The book of Numbers. We need to know, because if there is any heart of unbelief, we need to remove this before we leave this hall. If we have any iota of doubt that God can do what he promises, we need to remove that and ask forgiveness and go from here so that the Lord will be glorified in us and through us. Numbers chapter 11 and verse 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh? Now God is bringing these 2 million people crossing the Red Sea. These are not just stories. Recently I happened to see a scientific film In that they had shown even the huge chariot wheels right at the place where the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea, but full of fossils and other kind of seaweeds. And yet they could identify it's a wheel with spokes. That is the God we have. Today, after so many thousands of years, man is able to find, yes, Bible is true. Bible is true. So let's read on. Who can give us flesh? We remember the fish, verse 5, which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and garlic. And verse 10, and Moses heard the people weep through their families, every man in the door of his tent. The anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Yes, they are tempting God, in spite of the fact that God brought them through the Red Sea, their evil heart of unbelief. Can God give me flesh here? In other words, they are looking for steak and potato in the wilderness. But we have a God who could give them much better than that. Quail he was giving them. Verse 20. But even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you because that he had despised, notice the word again, despised the Lord which is among you, and I wept before him, saying, why came ye out of Egypt? God brought them from Egypt because God wanted to give them a promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They believed to some extent, but none of them believed deeply in their heart. There are only two guys who really believed. That's what we are going to see later. These people never believed. They said, okay, let's go. We'll take Moses for his word. But they did not believe God. And see the verse 32 rather. And the people stood up all day and all that night and all the next day and gathered the quails. Have you eaten quail meat? Very tasty. I've eaten. Wonderful it is. Particularly if you make with some Indian spices, which my wife makes. It's fantastic. Well, they gathered quails, and they gathered least 10 homers, and they spread them abroad, spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. But notice verse 33. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of God was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with very great plague. That's what God is. Because God can provide anything that you want. We doubt God, you know, even today in our lives. Can God do this for me? Can God do that for me? I don't think. But don't get carried away. Don't keep asking God which God doesn't want to give us. He will give us, and along with that, he will give leanness in your soul. You've got to be careful when you're asking God. That's exactly what happened here. They asked God, they tempted God, they despised God. Can he supply meat here? And he supplied enough that they loathe that. And we see here, when the meat was in their teeth, God smote them. How many died that day? We'll see later. About 14,900 people died on a single day because of their despising God. That's the God we have. Today, God doesn't punish like that. We are in the days of grace. In spite of all the shortcomings, failures, in spite of all the doubts that we have in heart, in spite of all the despising thing we think in our hearts about this man or this brother or that sister and backbiting and all that we do, God forgives us because we are in the days of grace. So God looks at the heart and not the outside. God doesn't look at your presence here on Sunday mornings, but wants to see what do you do from Monday to Saturday when you are alone, when you are at your work and things like that, where we bring glory and honor unto God, or we live a life as we like it, and then come and show up with a big thick Bible on Sunday morning. God doesn't care. He looks at the heart. Let's move on. What else they did? And see chapter 13 and verse 1. And the Lord spake to Moses, saying, send thou men, they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Why would they do that again? Because God had already told them in Exodus chapter 3 that this is the land, these are the people going to be there. Don't worry, I will give you. You want to see that? Hold your finger here, turn to Exodus chapter 3. The beginning of the journey, God told them what exactly is going to befall, what is going to be your problem there. See verse 8. God says, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8, I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians What they were doing there? They were building all these pyramids which thousands and thousands of people are going to see in Egypt, even today. The children of Israel were slaves there. They were the guys who were building the pyramids there. And I am come to down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptian and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land and large, and unto the land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. This is exactly what God told them before even they started. But they didn't believe that. So what happens now? Moses says, go and search the land. Is it a real good land? You want to see what good land it is? See verse 33. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 23. I hope I'm not going very fast. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes as they bear it between two upon the staff. You know what I mean? A cluster of grape. Today if you go to the supermarket, you can hold it in your hand, in the palm of your hand. But this one, two people had to bear it. That is the kind of land we are talking about. Is Israel today like that? Not exactly. But it's almost. Some of the beautiful roses which you get here in February, they come from Israel. Do you know that? Some of the finest apples which you get here, they come from Israel. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But these people did not believe it. God told them, and yet they will not believe. And not only that, after seeing this miracle, that the land produces such wonderful, wonderful vegetation, what did they do? Turn to chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. I'm trying to show you one by one the evil heart of unbelief of these people. And why God threw 1,099,998. It's not a small number. God killing 1,099,998 people. Why? Only two people went to the promised land. The rest perished in the wilderness because of unbelief. Verse 4, chapter 14. And they said one to another, let us make a captain, let us return to Egypt. No, look at the arrogance here. Look at the arrogance. God is telling them, I'm bringing you out into your promised land. And God is showing them the miracles. 10 miracles happened there in Egypt. And finally, they passed through the Red Sea. The water stopped. If some of you must have seen the 10 Commandments, where Cecil B. DeMille in the old days showed how the water was standing up and down, and the children of Israel passing by, and the Egyptian came in, and the sea covered them, and they all died. And yet, after seeing all this, these fellows are now saying, let us make a captain in return. Not only that, verse 10, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Now they pick up stones to kill them. Are they working with their heart? No, they are working with their head. Whatever their head dictates them, that's what is happening in the world today. Nothing comes out of their heart good. It is from their head, whatever they suddenly think, they act upon. But all the congregation bared stones with them to stone, and the glory of God appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. In spite of the fact there are two guys who have been telling them, no, it's a good land, we can go there. I have seen it. I know there are big giants, but we have a God who can help us. See verse 7 and 8. Verse 6 rather. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them, searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which passed through this to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, in the land which floweth with milk and honey. What is that? Only rebel not against the Lord, neither fear he the people of the land, for they are bread for us. That defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. But having said this, these people picked up stones to hit them and kill them. You are talking nonsense. 12 of us went. And you are the two people saying that everything is fine. We know that. We have seen it. There are giants in that land. They are going to kill us. God had told them in Exodus what we saw. They are going to be Hivites and all kinds of bad people there. But I have given you the land. Did they really believe God? No. The evil heart of unbelief. There are people today, there are so many churches that do not even use the word Jesus. Do you know that? They are in the television collecting millions of dollars. They want money, money. After saying a few things, they will start asking you, you sow this seed, God will multiply. God has never promised anything to multiply. And that's what God says about these people in the book of Jude. We don't have time to learn. These are the people God says, these are twice dead. And people who are, let me quickly read what God is talking about, these kind of people who misguide the world because they are on world television and they are in so many countries in the same television. God says, these are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's person admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last days who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are men who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit of God. That means they are not born again. They are not even Christian. They are not going anywhere. But you and I, who claim to be Christians, who know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, we should never have an iota of doubt that Jesus Christ can come today, even before this meeting is over. And we will go in rapture. It is true. Because these people cannot believe such a thing will happen. This is nonsense. Day. It's against physics. I'm a student of physics. I got a graduate degree in physics. I know. An apple has to fall down. It can't go up. But I believe the Bible that I will go up when the Lord comes. If you have any doubt here, God says you have an evil heart of unbelief. Never doubt that. And so what happened? Verse 34. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 34. I want you to see this. And after the number of days in which he searched the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, he shall bear your iniquity, even 40 years, and he shall know my breach of promise. So that's why people ask, why 40 years they were moving in the wilderness? You know the place where they went? This map. See later, when you have time. They started from here, from Egypt. The place where they came, it's known as Kadesh Barnea. Kadesh Barnea to Canaan is just 120 miles as the crow flies. How many miles can you walk in a day? 6 miles? So 120 miles, how many days it will take you? What, 20 days? So let's give 2 months. 2 months, okay, take it easy. Every day you walk only 2 miles if you want. Okay? We got a mass of a lot of people walking. And yet it took them 40 years, mind you, 40 years to reach this particular destination. Why? As the crow flies, 120 miles, they should be going from here to, say, Washington. I drove 120 miles, perhaps, my house. It took them 40 years. It won't take me 40 years. It'll just take me 2 hours this evening. Why? Because of a heart of unbelief and arrogance toward God. And also, they took up stones to kill all these people. That's why God allowed them to be wandering around. As they wandered, one by one, they fell dead. Out of this 2 million, 1,098,998 people, 99,998 people fell down dead. And only 2 people went. Why? Because of good heart. That's what I want to see quickly. What is the good heart we are talking about? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22. Yeah, it's right here. What God says, because of all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now this 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall needs not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me, or angered me, or challenged me, or despised me, see it. But my servant Caleb, notice that, because he had another spirit, in other words, his heart was clean, that's what God says. God looks at the heart, another spirit with him, that hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land wherein he went, and his seed shall possess it. So now you see here, God was not looking at the stature of these 10 men or 12 men who went around to spy, but their heart. Caleb, his heart was clean. That's why he was allowed to go and see the land of Canaan. Turn with me to Joshua, the book of Joshua now. Go forward. Joshua chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse 7 and 8 this time. Now Caleb himself is testifying here. He's talking about his heart. That's what is our subject this morning. 40 years have old I was when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea. You remember the place I showed you in the map? To spy the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. So he was not talking from his head. All the children of Israel must have told him, you are talking from your head, man. What are you talking? Didn't you see those big giants standing there? They can kill us as soon as we go in. Do we have fighting men here? No, we don't have a fighting man. You are talking from your head. Have you heard this before? You'll hear. People say, he's talking from his head. But this guy says, I'm talking from my heart. Verse 8. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Because what dictates of his heart? The dictates of his heart was, my God can definitely make these people die. My God can definitely protect me. My God can give me this land. That was his feeling. Look at that. Even in industry, when you see, there are some people, when you see a glass which is half full, some people say half empty. Other people say it is half full. We can make it full. In other words, positive attitude, what the world today talks about, positive attitude. That's what Caleb had. When he went and saw that, our God is mightier than these people. We can definitely possess the land. Whereas the other fellows, what they saw was, we are going to be dead. We are dead meat. Let's not go there. Now see the other guy. Our time is almost gone. The other guy called, what is his name? Joshua. Turn to Joshua chapter 24, please. Joshua chapter 24. Verse 14, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and truth. That is, from your heart you need to believe him and serve him. And verse 15, and if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's what exactly he says. My heart, Joshua says, is with the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. How do you serve the Lord? From your heart. You decide in your heart that you want to serve the Lord, not in your head. Because many, many people have tried to think that I will serve the Lord from their head. After some time, they dissipate. In my own church, back in Knoxville, I've seen many, many people. They stand up on Sunday morning, speak wonderfully, good word, and I've often gone and shook hands with them, brother, fine word and things like that. Where are they now? Because they were talking from the head knowledge. From the head, or they might have heard from somewhere. Often I hear sometimes people say, this morning as I was driving to the church, I heard something. And he repeats that. God doesn't care for all those. What somebody else, some other preacher was speaking in the radio. What is for you in your heart to come and worship him? What word which God gave you this morning to worship him? You say that, even if it is a simple one word. We don't want eloquent speech here. God looks at the heart and not at your head or head knowledge. And this man, Joshua, said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to quickly point out a couple of other people who really did that. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. See, when we come to church or whatever, when we decide in our heart, that's what God honors. This morning when you woke up, you said, I must go to church. I want to worship the Lord. I want to listen to the word of God. I want to be encouraged and come back. That's what God looks. God appreciates that. Not, there are some people who think that if I don't go, they will say, ask me, what happened to you? We are missing you. We are this thing, that thing. Don't ever go to church to pacify somebody else. Go out of your own heart to worship that blessed Lord and to give him glory and honor and seek him. That's what this guy Daniel. Verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. Notice that. That's all my theme. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. We don't have time to go through the story. God looks at the heart of this young man because he decided in his heart he will honor God, not anybody else. Even if it's a question of losing his life, I will only honor God. That's what God today looks for. Not for other show, not for other activities. Any amount of activities we may do, God is not going to honor that. But with what intent we do that? Is it to honor God? I was telling my wife on Friday, I saw the whole family here, young people. They could have been, the others will be spending time in the bar or with their friends and moving around. Whereas I found a bunch of young people helping other younger kids learn something about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was one guy who was uncontrollable. He was running there. He was going through the pew and everything. They were with great love handling that man very nicely, including my friend John was holding him like a child. And I said, what love these people? I would have gotten angry with that guy and told him, if you don't want to come, don't come again. Don't disturb others. But great love they showed. I said, Lord, bless these young people. That's what, that intent, the intent to go and help instead of Friday evening. Everybody is tired after working 1 week. You can relax at home. God is not going to say no. But with the intent you come here to help the young people learn something more about the Lord, God will honor that. That's the God we have. We have not much time to explain a lot of things, but I want to see another fellow. Turn with me to Acts chapter 11, verse 22. Acts chapter 11. Here is another guy who was encouraging people. Acts chapter 11 and verse 22 and 23. The tidings of these things came to the ears of the church that was in Jerusalem, and they sent for Barnabas. He should go forth as far as Antioch. When Barnabas came, he had seen the grace of God and was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart, that is, you decide in your heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. That's what God looks for. Same thing I leave with you this morning. That with purpose of heart, that is, make up in your mind, yes, I must go to the chapel on Friday. To be along, just even if I don't do anything, be a company there. Show them the love and sit with them. So that's what God looks for. With purpose of heart, that we should serve Him and to cleave unto the Lord. Because these are evil days. Among the Christians, as I told you itself, people do not believe the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. People do not believe the rapture of the church. These are all bogus things. In fact, I was handing over a tract to a man. I must have mentioned several times in Washington and other places. The man told me on my face, in fact, he put his finger right here. You mean to say that Jesus Christ is coming back? Why do you stand here and talk all this nonsense? For him, it was nonsense. And he just tore it up. This somebody pays 6 cents for this. That is the arrogance of the people. You say anything else, nothing will happen. You say Jesus Christ, they can't stand it. You remember some time ago, about 3 or 4 months ago, the prophet Muhammad and Allah, they had a picture in one of the newspapers somewhere in Denmark. And the whole world, all the Muslims, rose up. You know that? A lot of turmoil, burning, and so many people died. Muslims all got up. And today, do you know that? There's a fellow called Brown. He wrote a book called Da Vinci Code. Such an abominable book. 35 million copies have been sold already. There is a film is coming on 27th of May from Hollywood. What an arrogance. Talking about the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's pure, sinless Son of God. And yet these fellows are making him lawyer, just like you and me, sinful man. And the Brown says in Da Vinci Code, I'm told, I've not read the book. I will never even read even if somebody gives me free. Jesus Christ is married to Mary Magdalene. He had kids, and some of them are running around today. What a nonsense that. Instead of Christians rising up against this and opposing like the Muslims did when the picture was published, we are keeping quiet. Believe me, out of 35 million, I'm told, half of the people who bought those books are Christians. And they stopped going to church because they do not think Jesus Christ is holy and is the Son of God. He's just like one of you and me. What arrogance. That's what God looks at the heart of the people. So God looks at the so-called Christians who are going to the churches And if they stop coming to the church because they don't think Jesus Christ is a divine one, because of that book called Da Vinci Code by Brown. And he has not only made the $35 million, now he's getting money from Hollywood. So we are in the last days, because the Lord, let me show you quickly, Matthew chapter 24. Four times the Lord says deceivers will come in the last time, last days. I'm almost done. Give me 2 minutes. In Matthew chapter 24, what did the Lord Jesus say? He says in verse 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that let man, no man deceive you. This is deception that is going on in the Da Vinci Code, saying that Jesus Christ is not holy. And so people have lost their mind and some of them are not going to church. And verse 5, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And again, verse 11, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And again, verse 22. Yes. And then shall the great tribulation, such as was not seen in the beginning of the world, and this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be. I'm looking at verse 24, I'm sorry. For there shall false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, inasmuch that, if possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Four times we talked about deception here. So that's what is going on today. We are in the last days. So God looks at people with clean heart. As I said in the beginning, in Matthew chapter 5 and 8, why people are not able to see the Lord? Because their hearts are not pure. Blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. So don't be worried about what's going on in the world. But in your heart, you make a decision for the Lord. If you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if there is anyone sitting here, make a decision today. Lord, I will follow you. Lord, come what may, whatever anybody says in my heart, I will make a decision. God is looking for that. God talked to us this morning about the evil heart of unbelief of 199,000. I'm sorry, 1,099,988 people. Evil heart of unbelief. They all died in the wilderness. Only two of the people who started from Egypt ever reached there. Let's not be like that. Let's not be like Christians going to church and yet not going there unless we know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Unless He is in our heart. Unless we make decision in our heart to honor Him, to glorify Him and worship Him, we are never going anywhere. The Lord might come and some Christians may go away and others will be simply sitting there and passing through the 7 years of tribulation. May the Lord help you to make the right decision for God. And not to be worried about the deception that is going on in the world, but keep doing what you are doing. As Barnabas said, we need to, with a purpose of heart, that is, with our heart, to trust and believe the Lord Jesus Christ, cleave unto the Lord, and glorify Him. Shall we close in prayer? Father, we thank Thee for this time. Thank Thee for the lesson that Thou hast given each one of us, including me, that with our heart we need to make a decision to serve the Lord faithfully and honestly in every walk of our life, whether it is official from Monday through Saturday. We need to show that we belong to Thee. Because when we say we are Christians and our actions do not follow, people know that we are hypocrites. But Thou looks at the heart of the man and woman, not any of the other actions. So help us, Lord, like Daniel, He purposed in his heart. And as David also, as we see that David purposed himself to serve the Lord and he delighted himself with the things of God. And similarly, we can see in the life of Joshua and Caleb and other great men of God, they desired in their heart first to serve the Lord, and that will bring glory and honor unto the blessed Lord. So pray that we may continue serving Thee until Thy coming. And we see, Lord, even Christians are losing faith in their heart, because they have very weak hearts. They have never believed the Lord Jesus Christ truly. And that's why we see kind of deception that is going on in the world. And they fall into any simple deception. A man writes a fiction and people believe that and go away from church. This is the kind of things that are going on, which the Lord warned us that in the last days, many shall deceive even the very elect. Help us not fall into this kind of prayer. Pray for all those who have come here, Lord. Strengthen their hearts. Pray that they might make a solid decision in their heart to serve a faithful God who is living and loving and is going to come again one of these days. Until then, keep us safe. Take us home safely, Lord. And pray for those who are not here once again, those who are sick, have mercy upon them. Touch them with thy wounded hand. Pray for this assembly that they might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the children who are coming here might learn about the Lord Jesus Christ, accept him as their Savior and Lord. Bless the elders too. We ask this in the most precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This evening, God willing, we'll be discussing another subject. It says, keep away from the appearance of evil. How can we keep away ourselves? Everywhere we see there's bad things. Even if you pass through the store, when you buy something, you can always see all kinds of dirty magazines lying around. And God's word says, keep from all the appearance of evil. If you want to know how to keep that, come this evening at 6 o'clock. Thank you.